It's Magnum Podcast. I'm Jason Snell, and I'm joined as always by my co-hosts, Philip Michaels and David J. Lohr. Hi, guys. Oh, did somebody let a dolphin out? Well, Phil, are you out there?
Oh, sorry, Jason. I was just remembering how much I love dolphins.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
We're doing episode, season 6, episode 3, Old Acquaintance, as recommended by the listener Blair chair for today. Listener Steve.
I would like to introduce a segment.
Okay.
That really hurt. Ow. Mm. I mean the voice, not the episode. Yeah. I mean the episode, but yeah. The voice.
Old Acquaintance is an episode in which a dolphin is kidnapped. So
as so often happens. You know what the other thing kidnapped was? The plot to Day of the Dolphin.
Yep.
Kidnapped in order to bomb a dictator, an African dictator, on his yacht.
Again, something that happens every now and again.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have a whole list of questions.
There are okay. a lot of threads in the sweater that you got to pull, and at the end of it, you're left with no sweater.
Okay, one of the things that is a plot point in this is that, the dolphin pair has been separated.
Yes.
Oh, they're going to die without one another.
Yes.
Okay, I know from reading my Carl Hiaasen, dolphins are not monogamous.
They are not.
They're quite not monogamous.
Indeed.
They're not even necessarily sticking to dolphins, which is why you don't really want to go swimming with dolphins.
No.
Just saying. It's kind of... That's actually a plot point in the Carl Hiaasen, as it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what? Did they not... They had to have a dolphin expert to have the dolphins.
Yeah, but that's just for shooting, right? Like,
yeah, that's just wrangler. The dolphin wrangler is not going to be standing around going, you know, those dolphins, they are really the sex pests of the sea.
You know, I did enjoy The Adventures of Dolph Wrangler, but that was a whole other show.
So, yeah, okay, David, we'll put that on the list. I was going to point out that this is a plot. Okay, the semi-apocryphal, maybe partially true, I don't know, thing is that it's like, did you know that the Navy trains dolphins to put explosives on ships? Okay. Well, a few things about that. One, I believe the way the dolphin explosive things work is that the dolphins are trained to place the explosives on the ship, not just have a belt around them, and then they swim near a ship and they blow it up with the dolphin. Mm-hmm.
That would be a lot of training going to waste on
right?
each of your dolphins. Yeah.
And they're pretty good with their little noses of like poking into things and all that.
We lose more dolphins that way.
Mm-hmm. You really want your dolphins to return from the mission, okay. I would argue.
So that's number one. But number two, if we can get past that to the idea that dolphins are trained for this. The dolphin in Old Acquaintance, season 6, episode 3 of Magna PI, is just like a random dolphin from an exhibit and not a trained naval bombing dolphin, which they could very easily have with one line of dialogue. They could have said, we adopted these two from the Navy. They were being used for some cockamamie scheme, but we rescued them. And then it would be like, that's how they can use them. That's why they targeted the dolphins.
They could have had a scene with Lance LeGault where he's all, oh, God, not our dolphins.
Those are the
I was just going to say, Buck Green has dolphins that are trained to do things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but these dolphins
he's
are
got
like
a whole
SeaWorld
cetacean
dolphins.
Ops.
Jason, I think the answer to what you're grappling at here is that dolphins are, in addition to being sex pests, also mad killers. And unleashed at any time and for any porpoise.
Oh God!
Well,
why do we do this podcast?
know. I don't know.
For that.
Lockdown's over, buddy. We can you can leave at any time.
Oh, nobody told me. I've still been in my house this whole time. Watching Magnum P.I.
Watching Magnum P.I.
Okay, so...
It could be worse. You could be watching Hardcastle and McCormick.
So the... okay, the plot of this episode...
Well, it gets better, yes. Is, like, that's good enough.
Okay, so Magnum is being visited by a friend of his from high school.
An old acquaintance, you might say.
Goldie Morris, who tutored him, got him academically eligible for the football team, which... as TC thanks her at one point, meant that he went and got in the Navy, which meant that he got to Vietnam. Thanks a lot, Goldie. Which meant that he was there to save TC's life. So
and shoot Ivan.
And they look at the yearbook and they do that thing where they say, essentially, they become 16-year-olds and they go, "Oh, she's wearing glasses. She's a brain. Oh, she's not." They're like picking out the hotties in the yearbook and.
Was a kind of a, but in addition to being a sexist scene, kind of a creepy scene that these grown men are scoping out teenagers.
Yeah. Anyway, but they and there's like tutored him in English and as well and poetry, and she loved Emily Dickinson and all of that. So she needs something from Magnum, or she wants to see Magnum, but it turns out she needs, come on, she's in the plot, she needs something. It's not just an accident here. So that we get that strand, and she
is under the impression that she is visiting Hawaii for the first time, because he brings her the lay of flowers, and he's picking her up at the hotel, and it's all gonna be, and yet that apparently is not the case.
Also, I will say, if you're asking yourself, friend, who maybe hasn't seen this episode or seen it in a while, so Magnum's female friend from high school is the brain and Rick and TC make fun of her. Well, surely now that she's a guest star on Magnum P.I. paired opposite Tom Selleck in an episode called Old Acquaintance, surely she will be mousy, glasses wearing, and unattractive.
You would think so.
You have clearly.
My goodness, Miss Sakamoto, you're beautiful.
But they already blew that with Adelaide.
Well, yes, they blew a lot of things with Adelaide. My mind, my appreciation of Cameron Mitchell.
Old acquaintance. So yes, she's actually not one of the, like, she's not a bombshell. They really did try to cast somebody who I think is plausibly
She looks like a normal Earth human, attractive lady in her late 30s.
Not a model.
No.
Yeah.
So, but they did, you know, but she's also, you know, but there's that moment of like, oh, she's all grown up now. It's like, yes, Magnum.
She got her teeth straightened.
Yeah, and doesn't wear those glasses anymore.
You know,
and her nose looks good after it got broken.
Broken in the Chicago riots.
Yeah.
Yes.
Level 68. Yes. She lost 30
Somebody
pounds
protests.
because
she was against hunger.
She's a hippie.
There's
the contrast. Magnum, the upright, straight Navy man who fought in the war and was damn proud of it, and she, the hippie anti-war protester, and yet they're old acquaintances. So they are old acquaintances. Background.
In new Magnum, she would be called woke.
She is burned. Yeah. She burned down the goalposts at the high school to protest. Football. She went to the Chicago protests and that were turned into riots and got her nose broken.
Many marathons for hunger.
Yes.
She protested the Vietnam War and never once thought about him over there.
Yeah, she apologizes to Thomas for not thinking of him in Vietnam as she protested. So this is plot number one is Goldie. What's Goldie going to do? Well, it turns out Goldie is lying. We'll get to that in a minute, though, because when he meets her, she sees that he's delivering paperwork to the president of West Sonanga, a
plot two
fake company or fake country run by
Brock Peters.
Brock Peters, the
Admiral Cartwright.
Admiral Cartwright of Star Trek IV, indeed. Good to see Brock Peters. sorry to see the role that Brock Peters is forced to play, which is
I would
spot.
Say, yeah, Idi Amin without the cannibalism, I think, is what they were going
by the
for
boat.
Yeah. But I will say, he has the voice for it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Great voice. Great voice.
So he's in town for a sham human rights or something, sham international thing, because we all know international organizations don't work and are a sham.
Yes, it's the International MacGuffin Convention.
Exactly. It's the International Commission on MacGuffins. Mm-hmm. It's the UN High Commission on MacGuffins is in town.
I feel like the paperwork that Magnum is delivering is actually exposition.
It is, because we get the whole thing them. That Higgins, the British government, can't be seen to be talking to him, so the British government give Higgins papers to give to him, essentially, and that Higgins is, this is how high West Sananga rates for the British government is, well, we need to have somebody there, but it can't be anyone official. How about that guy in
that
Hawaii?
That butler cat.
Yeah. Yes, how about the butler?
How about the butler?
Send the butler to do it.
Send Butler over there.
Yeah. If this were a 60s ITV action show in Britain, it would be called The Butler.
Yeah.
He's at a lot of clubs that have England in the name. He can go.
He can do it. He can do it. All right. So that's now our two plots have been set in motion. And you're saying to yourselves, friends, well, what about the dolphins? You said there would be dolphins.
Plot C.
The answer is that she says she's actually there. Yeah,
it's
because,
literally the C plot.
Yeah, because a dolphin has been kidnapped, and as we've said, that he's separated from his mate, and they're both going to die. The mate's going to die of starvation because she won't eat because she misses Kale, the kidnapped dolphin. No.
I don't want to give the dolphin kidnapping scene short shrift here. Because
that's well done.
They are training the dolphin. He's with his trainer.
McKinney.
Apparently, Goldie has been in Hawaii so long, she managed to be hired by Hawaii SeaWorld or whatever the hell this park is. McKinney's training the dolphins. These two guys sneak up behind him while he's feeding them fish. And the one dolphin is just going, hey, buddy, hey, there's people behind you. Buddy,
guy behind
buddy.
You. Yeah. And McKinney basically says, you think I'm going to fall for that old trick?
Yeah, exactly. And eventually the dolphin gets irritated and swims away. All right.
I can't watch. I know what's happening next.
I won't be party to this incompetence, sir. Good day.
And they strangle him, but he doesn't die. He just is unconscious, and then they steal a dolphin. But
only one. That's the danger, the mighty sleeper hold. No one can escape the mighty sleeper hold.
So she is, you know, animal liberation person. She was part of a plot. She was trying to infiltrate it, and she was going to free the dolphins, and that's all that. And we get the thing about you want to save the world, but you can't even keep her shoelaces tied because, you see, she doesn't understand anything. She's got big dreams, but doesn't understand about life and practical things like
double
shoelaces.
Knotting.
Anyway, Magnum goes to find out what the ransom is going to be, and where does he do that, friends? At Honolulu High-Rise Hotel. This episode is sponsored by Honolulu High-Rise Hotel. If you'd like to give or receive a ransom note, consider Honolulu. It's a brand name, S word by name. Honolulu High-Rise Hotel. Yes. Anyway, that doesn't go great. Higgins gets to interact with our friend Goldie here, which leads to my favorite scene from the whole episode, guys.
Oh.
Because Higgins is very excited because she is a cultured person, unlike Magnum. And she likes Emily Dickinson. And then they get into a debate because she's a hippie. And Higgins has, I would say, somewhat moderate views, where he basically says, like, well, yes, but only to a point. And she says, no, not to a point. All the way. And it leads to the moment where Higgins is taken aback, or as I like to call it, but you like poetry. How could you have questionable political views? Oh, Higgins. I don't understand. Your politics are unreasonable, and yet you like Emily Dickinson. How could this be?
And yet he quotes an Emily Dickinson poem and then kind of goes, yeah, all right.
Well, I get she's it. Working her way. Soon, she might be his old acquaintance.
And fellas, I hate to interrupt you, but now's the perfect time to introduce our second sponsor of the show.
Oh.
The Magnum podcast is brought to you by Emily Dickinson. You know, friends, if you're missing a little poetry in your life, why not try Emily Dickinson? You know, whether hope is a thing with feathers or you cannot stop for death, don't worry. Emily Dickinson can do it for you. Metered rhymes that that you can sing to the yellow rose of Texas whenever you want. Emily Dickinson poems are time-tested and kid and mom approved. Mm-hmm. So your first order gets you...
Especially if your mom is an English teacher.
Yes. Your and first if, order if gets you several Emily Dickinson poems. You can cancel at any time. A new poem shows up every month. And use code the Snell of Amherst 2022 to get your 20% discount on poems by Emily Dickinson.
So is Emily Dickinson the sponsor, or is it the Emily Dickinson Poem of the Month Club?
No,
well,
Emily
the poem comes in a box every
Emily
month.
Dickinson literally called us up and gave us cash and said,
"Are you sure?
Wow.
Are you sure it wasn't a dolphin?"
If you're looking for a certain slant of light, Emily Dickinson poems.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Although
maybe
I did not kindly
Haley
stop
Stein.
For death, you should kindly stop to take advantage of this offer.
Exactly.
So many years ago, I wrote a 10-minute play called Because I Could Not Stop for Death, that literally exists just to find as many songs as possible to sing to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know the Yellow Rose of Texas. You know, I'd like to teach the world to sing. That's the other one that they always do.
Mm-hmm.
You can sing it to the Gilligan's Island theme.
Mm.
Because I could not stop for death, he kindly stopped for me. The carriage held but just ourselves and immortality. And actually, immortality.
And that's, honestly, that's the plot to Gilligan's Island. So it really
pretty much.
In many
much.
Ways.
Yeah. So
anyway.
They go to the place where they're going to do the ransom or not do the ransom. Sam, it doesn't really matter. There's an ambush. There's a guy on a cliff who's shooting at them. Magnum shoots a guy at point-blank range, which we've established on Magnum PI means he's immediately dead. However, in this case, he's fine.
Gets him in the shoulder.
He's kind of winged, we think.
Yeah he gets up and goes. They get a partial plate from the car as it speeds away. It's kind of a disaster.
Oh, but there is one other thing of this ambush that I don't think we can... The man is on the cliff shooting at Magnum and his lady friend, his old acquaintance, with his rifle. But who should loom up behind him but TC in the chopper. TC with... literally knocks the guy over with the chopper.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right. I neglected to mention, you know, the skids that TC uses to land on? He also uses them to punch a guy in this scene.
Frankly, I would believe a guy getting shot at point blank from range from Magnum surviving as opposed to a man being bumped off a cliff by a helicopter.
Now maybe it's because Brock Peters was in the guest cast, and I'm already thinking Admiral Cartwright and Star Trek IV, and I saw that scene, and I couldn't help but think of the Klingon bird of prey suddenly materializing behind the whaling ship and scaring it. And I'm just like, that's weird. I'll come back to this in a few minutes.
Also, marine mammals involved in both plots, so I...
Well, you kind of see where I'm going.
I'm with you there.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Magnum tells her she lives in a fantasy world of Emily Dickinson and not the real world. Take that, hippie.
Emily Dickinson. I don't mean to offend our sponsor. But.
Yes, Emily Dickinson, the only poet, apparently, that exists.
Mm-hmm. But fortunately, she doesn't listen to podcasts, so
all right.
She's kind of a shut-in.
I'd like now to introduce...
Oh,
our best character in this episode.
Oh, yes.
Rodney Radcliffe, bohemian artist.
Don't talk to him without me, Thomas.
TC has to be there. He gets really wound up when Goldie and Magnum are talking to this guy out in the middle of nowhere where he's working on a car or whatever, the bohemian artist, and he's going to get really mad. But then TC shows up.
Actually, before we get to that,
yes.
So he gets the partial license plate, mm-hmm. and he's calling Rick to get, you know, the traditional call Rick to run the plate. But he remembers this little design that was on the back of the van, and TC goes, oh, wait, was it like this? And he sketches it out, which is great because it's making fun of the fact that he's always calling Rick.
Yeah.
And Rick finally gets hung up on.
Because it's Rodney Radcliffe.
TC is like, it's Rodney Radcliffe. I know
he knows who it is, but you got to let me, I got to be there when you talk to him because Rodney Radcliffe is kind of a nutty guy.
We should point out to listeners who have yet to watch Old Acquaintance that basically Rodney Radcliffe is the sort of guy who paints wizards on vans.
Yes.
And maybe does it at a discount rate, but then you got to talk to him for like an hour afterwards where he explains his craft to you. And you're all, I should have just gotten this professionally
detailed. And he's the kind of guy who tells you, no. What you didn't see was, you didn't see a logo. Logos only appear on toilet doors at the airport. Signature. Yeah. It's a signature. Signatures are for works of art.
And
by the way, they
guy,
saw this on a nondescript white van.
A
is where
blank
they saw
white
this.
Van.
Yeah.
And like he's the guy who won't just paint wizards on your vans. He will tell you the headcanon of how all the wizards on all of his vans are connected in this larger myth.
Look, look, he works cheap, but you got to listen to his BS. That's just how it is with Rodney Radcliffe. Okay. But then he hears that she cares about dolphins and he gets really mad. He's like, oh, I can't believe what they're doing to that dolphin. I'll help you. So great. That leads us to the end game of old acquaintance.
Wait.
Okay, David.
What are they doing to that dolphin? This is where Star Trek IV comes back in.
Okay.
He's Mr. Scott. He retrofits the van to contain a water tank to carry a dolphin, just like the Klingon bird of prey.
So the plan is, we learn now, they're going to blow up President Dictator, Brock Peters.
Yes.
Which is terrible because, I mean, you might not care that President Dictator is going to get blown up, but Higgins is on that boat too, with not representing the UK government, but sort of, but not.
But not.
So Goldie takes off in the Ferrari to try to warn them. She gets out on a boat and they're like, oh, get a load of this with probably Greenpeace. And they're gonna you know, question her and maybe rough her up. Higgins, showing why he's not an official representative of the UK government, just makes a catty comment about the dictator, full voice with the dictator standing there. So,
like, he's 3 feet away.
Yeah, he doesn't appreciate that at all. The dolphin is on his approach, and you know that because there's a few shots of the dolphin swimming, including some where he's very clearly swimming in an enclosure. Like you could see the pool bottom at several points, but they're trying really hard.
No. The shore off of Oahu is clearly tiled and
concrete.
Very, very waterproof.
I have to say they work really hard because they've got a dolphin thing in the water that is a fake dolphin, and then they've got stock footage that they tried to shoot from down low, so you see the dolphin in the top of the water, but not underneath where the enclosure is. They try really hard. But it's not great, but I appreciate that they're trying. And so the dolphin, you know, it's got a like explosive vest around her. They're roughing up Goldie. Higgins says, unhand her. Now, Magnum and our friend McKinney, who was last seen.
NTC.
NTC. And McKinney are all on a boat trying to get the dolphin to turn around so he won't blow up the yacht. And McKinney has sounds of his mate's call that he's going to play in hopes of turning him around. Magnum, however, has a rifle.
Very high-powered rifle.
And is going to shoot the dolphin, but they don't want to unless they have to. So you end up with a scenario where basically the dolphin handler is like, no, I can get him to turn around. Hold on, Magnum. And TC over his other shoulder saying, kill the dolphin, Magnum.
Yeah,
you've got to kill the dolphin.
I was going to say, Jason, some of them don't want to shoot the dolphin. I think TC... is really taking advantage of the situation, going, how many times do you get a chance to shoot at a dolphin and be the hero?
Good guy.
That's
right.
Kill
that's
the dolphin!
Right. And this is where Day of the Dolphin almost becomes Day of the Jackal.
Mm-hmm. There's a great shot of the dolphin in the crosshairs from the view of Magnum's rifle scope that's kind of amazing. But then McKinney says, He's turning around. He's doing it, Magnum. And they're like, okay, well, we've got to get the bomb off of the dolphin, because the dolphin coming back here doesn't help, because it'll just blow us up. So it's time for Magnum to take all of his clothes off and dive in the water, and for TC to not really take all his clothes off and also dive in the water so that they can they swim. So, and then I just, again, I need to ask these questions to you guys, because maybe you know the answer. Here's what happens next. They get in the water. They're swimming after the dolphin. There's lots of intercutting. There's a dolphin. They're in the water. There's people on a yacht. Bikinis on a boat. There's a dolphin. They're in the water. An explosion happens.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when it happens, by the way, Brock Peters ducks behind another guy and everybody laughs at him because he's a coward. And then there's a sort of like, oh, but we got it. And then Magnum and TC are like, we got it off of him, and the dolphin is fine. And everybody goes, yay. And I ask, what happened?
No, it is
you
very
didn't,
much.
You didn't miss a thing.
It is very much the A plus B plus C equals J. There are all these steps missing.
There's no scene where they catch the dolphin. There's no scene where they take the bomb off the dolphin. There's no scene where they and the dolphin get away from the bomb. The bomb does go off.
Yes.
And
but the dolphin is fine. He's fine, everybody. He's fine.
It is a dolphin ex machina.
And oh boy. I want apologies for the porpoise groans earlier.
Yeah.
We know the dolphin's fine because there's no fine pink mist in the explosion like there was at the end of Jaws. Yeah. I dispute everyone laughing at the dictator wisely ducking and covering with the explosion. Why would you stand and take shrapnel? That's how you become a dead dictator.
That's
you,
right. He hasn't gotten all dictator. This. He's gotten this way by hiding behind people whenever
there's
gunfire.
That's right.
The only way he's still alive in the tough streets of West Sananga. Fake streets of West Sananga. But good news, the dolphin survived, and Goldie will continue to be an idealist, but at least they've learned something about something.
She learns how to tie her shoes.
And this is how seriously the closed captions took the episode. Half of the episode... It calls Goldie Gloria, which I don't know where that came from. And at least three times the captions have, say, Magnum is saying something when Higgins is saying it, which is weird.
Maybe it makes more sense that way.
It might make more sense that way, but
so
it was just odd.
And that brings me to a segment that's recurring here, which is the official Listener Blair listener judging segment.
yes.
Listener Steve wrote in and said, oh, you got to watch it. It's got dolphins and an African dictator from a fake country.
That isn't Jororo.
Yeah. Although this does, I mean, the plot of, I prefer the fake country in Central America that Simon and Simon go to, actually.
Yes.
Costaguana? Because I wished this out into the world and it came to be, the painting of Magnum walking through the clouds, smiling at me.
You still have that?
I would like a map of Africa.
I spent good money on that. I hope you still have that somewhere in a position.
I do. I'm looking at it right now.
Okay, good.
It is like a foot from a foot to my right.
All right, good. Yeah. Good, good.
I'm looking at it right now, dude. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I would like someone somewhere, maybe a listener, maybe a artist for money, maybe Rodney Radcliffe, to do me a map of Africa with all the Magnum PI made up countries in it.
Wow.
And maybe a couple of Mission Impossible ones.
Yeah. No, throw in made up countries from other shows.
Sure.
Throw in Marvel made up countries. Give me Latveria. But that's what I want.
All right.
So more than anything in the world. Also, we need to come up with a theme song for this segment if it's going to be a recurring bit where we sing about who's going to be the Blair tonight.
Is it going to be a recurring bit?
So, Listener
I don't
Steve,
know.
Listener Steve. Oh, by the way, you can suggest an episode or comment on what the heck this is. Magnum@theincomparable.com. Listener Steve, this episode. I mean, I could say good, bad. It's bad. Like, it's bad. It's bad in so many ways. Bad. I'm not sure it's good enough to be good bad, though, because it's lazy. The dolphins are lazy. They're stealing a plot from Day of the Dolphin. They don't. The dolphin's not a Navy bomb disposing dolphin. It's just a random dolphin, and yet it knows how to carry a bomb. But they have to train those dolphins to do that. Rodney Radcliffe is fun, although he's pointless, but fun. Like, you can see them trying at various points to do things, but they don't do them. It's not good. It's a bad
episode. I think I liked it better than you. There's some good Rick and TC Bantz with the thing on the phone with the looking up the license plate.
Yeah, that, I mean, like, that amused me.
Sure. I like it when TC is involved in the plot more than just flying his helicopter, right. Though
kill
he does that.
Dolphin Magnum, shoot it! Shoot the
kill
dolphin!
The dolphin! Kill right. It!
Like, it is absurd. It was fun. I don't hate this episode. It's ridiculous. No. I wanted to like it more than I did.
No, yeah, but there are areas where you can see. Oh, if this were season 3 or season 4 of Magnum, they would have pushed things more and made more. The threads would have come together better. Or they would have done things that were more goofy. But instead, it's that when the goofiest you get is that Higgins is all, "Why, you like poetry? Oh my God!"
And I can't believe I disagree with your politics, given that we both like poets.
Mm-hmm. No, I have a note here that literally is just, this is very much a sixth season episode of any show that gets to six seasons. You're gonna get to this kind of an episode at some point.
Yeah, kind of by
it's
the
just,
numbers.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. This, as Steve Lutz would say, old acquaintance is also present.
I was going to say, old acquaintance should be forgot.
Yeah, oh, there now, you go. No. There you
now,
go.
No. You still have a murdering dolphin in there, and I do think
you
got to
respect the
that.
Murdering dolphin.
Yeah. Is it? Murdering dolphin's the victim of this.
Mm, is he though? I think that dolphin kind of liked murdering.
Oh, I didn't. We
wanted
didn't even
to do it.
The guy with who gets hit by the helicopter and the guy who gets shot by Magnum. They go by like Smith and Jones, and they are
yes.
They are just guys who are part of an organization that's trying to assassinate the dictator. That's their mm-hmm. home. Posing and, as people who care about dolphins, but they don't.
And going back to sort of the lack of imagination, which again you get in the sixth season, the dolphin's name is Kele, K-E-L-E, and the president's name is Kole, K-O-L-E.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Really? You couldn't get other letters?
Nope. Nope. Those are the only letters that were available.
They're on a budget. They already blew their budget this season on the season opener.
And I got to say, thank God they weren't using computers to write these, because the spell checking and going back and forth would have driven me nuts.
Mm-hmm. Well, that brings us to our final segment of the episode, which I like to call What's in Our Next Episode. It's going to be another listener request episode. And it's Luther Gillis, file double number 001, season 5, episode 10. Get ready
closing
for
the
some...
loop. Closing the loop on the Luther Gillis files.
He's in one more. He's in.
I mean,
he's in the penultimate episode.
Oh wow!
Yeah, he comes back one more time. But that's
he is the Canadian dime of Magnum characters. You can't get rid of him.
You can't get rid of him. So that'll be next time. But until then, this has been Magnum Podcast, magnum@theincomparable.com. If you want us to make fun of your choices, like what episode you want us to watch and listening to this podcast. But until then, I have been Jason Snell, and they have been Philip Michaels and David J. Lohr. Bye, guys.
No one you see is smarter than he, for you know Flipper. No, never mind.
The dolphins make me cry, as the poet Hootie once said.
Shoot it, Magnum! Shoot the dolphin!
Kill the dolphin! Kill the dolphin! Kill the dolphin!